The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 344. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm tired.
Yeah, why are you tired?
I don't know.
It's a long weekend?
Not really.
You went through. Why are your eyes closed the whole time you said that?
I'm just really tired.
You're just getting naps in whenever you can.
Yeah,
why do you think you're so tired? I mean, like, you platinum Wolfenstein. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Uber was super hard, you said,
it was,
right?
It was really hard. Well, no, it was fine, except for the last boss was a total
just the last
pain in the ass.
Yeah, it looks fine, Sean. Sean Finnegan, he sets up the camera. He's waving at us. Yeah, we're going. Doesn't matter. Everybody knows Sean Finnegan. He likes hiking. And then, over here, my Italian meatball, Brian Altano.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for
I'm
coming
actually,
by.
I'm very energized. I'm the opposite of you, Colin.
We had a three-day weekend.
Yeah, it was great.
A little bit longer.
You could have used a little longer time, maybe like a 7 or 8 day weekend.
7 or 8 day weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, I went to MomoCon in Atlanta, Georgia over the weekend, met a whole bunch of Podcast Beyond fans, did a whole bunch of panels about video games. Thank you all for coming out and supporting and wearing your Podcast Beyond t-shirts, your Game Over Greggy t-shirts. Means the world to me. Love you all. Colin, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We're on an abbreviated schedule. We're going to lose you. I want to make sure we get you. All the news gets extracted from your brain.
Thank you. What time is it?
We
got a little while. We got like half an hour.
I'm just making sure.
There are 10 items on the list.
10.
10.
Close to a dozen. Closer still to a baker's dozen.
That broke ass baker dozen.
Close to 8 also.
Yeah.
8 is enough.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Number 1.
Was a dud.
The Order 1886 has officially been delayed. The game originally slotted to launch exclusively on PlayStation 4 in the fall of 2014 has been pushed back to early 2015. On the PlayStation blog, developer Ready at Dawn stated that, quote, "As we look to bring this experience to the players, we have decided to spend extra time to deliver on the promise we made when we first introduced the game," end quote.
Timothy writes into Podcast Beyond. He does it by emailing beyond@ign.com, just like all of you can. He says, Beyond!
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 Tim Weisenhunt from VA here. I awoke this morning to the Watch Dogs review and to find out that Colin was right again. The order has been delayed until 2015. Later today, I arrived at work to discover that The Evil Within has been delayed to 10/12/2014 in the U.S. Let me say congratulations on correctly predicting the delay, Colin. However, I want to know what you think about the trend of high-quality AAA releases being delayed.
It's good. If they need to get more polish, and the order clearly needed more polish when I saw it in February, I think that's a good thing. The game looks really promising. It's a third-person shooter, much like Gears of War, very atmospheric, very story-driven, unlike Gears of War. And I think that they need more time. A lot of people gave me shit when I said that the game looked rough and that it needed more time based on the fact that I saw it in February and it was supposed to come out in September. But when you have a vertical slice, I mean, we see enough games to know that when you have a vertical slice and you're showing you're putting your best foot forward and your game runs like that and it looks like that, you are not ready for prime time. And that was obvious when I saw it. And I'm glad that they delayed it because when you put a game out and it's not ready, you can't take that back.
I mean, it's interesting. He mentions the Watch Dogs review. That's a perfect example of a game that we all heard like a year ago was not ready. That thing needed a lot of work.
Yeah.
So basically what happens with situations like this is people play very early builds of these and sometimes almost complete builds, and they do things called mock reviews. And Watch Dogs apparently wasn't doing too hot in that department. And it came out today, and it's getting really good scores pretty much across the board, like 8s and 9s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that had it just come out last year, it would have been a 6. And do you want a 6? No, nobody wants a 6. I'd rather wait 6-7 months and get a 9. So
a delayed game is a disappointment once. A bad game is a disappointment all the fucking time. Yeah. Timothy wanted to add in, too, a delay isn't necessarily bad, but our developers and publishers putting release dates out too early? Is that a problem, you think?
It's yes.
You put out the release date to get you excited so you can pre-order it, so you can get start putting away money in a sock, and then it just doesn't make that point.
Put away money in a sock drawer, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, socking away money.
I've actually, I think I've talked about it maybe even on the show. They all melt together. But I don't really want to know about a game until 6 months to 8 months to a year before it's out. I don't like knowing that something is 3 years away. Here's a logo. Think about it for 3 years. I don't like all that. And I don't like the here's our big reveal and then we're going back and hiding and then it comes back again. I mean, had we not known anything about The Last Guardian at all, right? And we heard about it for the first time at Christmas and then they showed it at E3 and they're like, it's out in the fall. I mean, isn't that the perfect timeline? Instead, we're sitting here for years going, where is this game? When's it going to turn up? Is it canceled? We're mad. Did you hear about the studio? Right. This and this and this. You get much more invested in the drama behind all of it than you do the actual excitement chart of getting to where you're actually going to be playing the game. And I don't – I'd rather play the game than just sit there for 3 years and go, I wonder if it's canceled. I wonder if it's not,
You figure there's two sides to that, right? Like Uncharted and all the Naughty Dog problems would not have been a story if we didn't have that Uncharted teaser trailer and knew that was coming and that was public knowledge, right? But the other side, of course, is like this is a business and you do have – stockholders, shareholders, all of them, and they have to present all that stuff to them. That's why, whenever there's a Take-Two earnings call, right, there's always some kind of – we're always listening for news about a GTA because they have to tell those people, hey, this thing that makes us a ton of money is in development, is being worked on, and that's kind of the same
thing. And the release date is this. I totally agree with that. I understand the business side of that, but I don't think that I personally gained anything from the Uncharted reveal that we saw. I got nothing from that, especially now knowing that the voice actor who was working on it is gone. The lead writer who was working on it is gone.
But you were already an easy sell for a PlayStation 4.
Yes.
There's some kid who was just an Uncharted fan who once he saw, well, I might as well get it now.
Sure, sure. But I mean, as a gamer, I didn't gain anything from that other than it's a flyover of a map.
Sure.
I'm not going to be playing that, right? I would rather get to a point, and it's interesting we're still not there, but I'd like to get to a point where it's sort of like, here's our game, here's what it looks like, here's when you'll be playing it.
Right.
Hopefully, promise. that's a great timeline for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I concur. I think that the publishers are getting too far ahead of themselves. They're rushing their own developers, and then they're ruining the optics of their own games when the games get delayed. Everyone was so up on Watch Dogs, then they were totally down on Watch Dogs, and
back up.
Yeah, that can ruin everything for a developer and for a game or a property. I mean, like you said, Watch Dogs might have been a 6. They released it in November, and that's the difference between a one-off game and a series. And now, since they gave it 6 months extra time, you will, and Watch Dogs is getting its scores, and I'm sure it's going to sell millions of copies, that you will now have a series called Watch Dogs.
Yeah, we'll have Watch Dogs forever now.
Which is fine if the series is good. I mean, that's the way people feel about Assassin's Creed. It's certainly the way I feel about Far Cry. I can't wait for Far Cry 4.
Right.
I think that I'm with you 100%. A year out's perfect. Let your team chill for a little while and get the game going. Uncharted is probably a 2015 or 2016 game, and they're like, yeah, it's in development.
Here's a map.
It's a cartography game. You see, you are going to play it. Number two. Sony has revealed that PlayStation 4 as a piece of hardware is already profitable. Typically, console manufacturers, including Sony, have historically sold consoles at a loss when they first launch and for some time thereafter in order to soak the market. But Sony's president and CEO, Kaz Hirai, said at a corporate strategy meeting that, quote, from a profitability perspective, PS4 is also already contributing profit on a hardware unit basis, establishing a very different business framework from that of previous platform businesses, end quote. So while Sony is indeed hemorrhaging money, PlayStation 4 has nothing to do with it. That's interesting. In fact, they're making profit.
I wonder how much profit they're making.
Well, I think the PlayStation division lost money last year because of R&D costs, and I'm sure that that will change now this year. If they can keep up these sales, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, historically, gaming companies have to make their money off of software, and in a situation like Nintendo's or even Sony's in the past, it's just tons of controllers and add-ons and stuff like that.
And licenses.
So it's interesting to see that, 6-7 months in, they're already making money off of each system sold. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, when people often – we were talking about Watch Dogs, right? Like Sony gets a cut of every copy of Watch Dogs that sells on PS4 and PS3. So they would get that money on the back end and then return to profitability. So this should hopefully make them some more money more quickly.
Yep.
Number three, I'm excited about this. Metro Redux has been announced for PlayStation 4 as well as Xbox One and PC. This collection will combine Metro 2033, which never came to PlayStation 3 last generation, with Metro Last Light, which launched last year. The collection will cost $49.99 boxed, or you can purchase the game separately on PlayStation Network for $25 each. Both games will run at 60 frames per second, 1080p, and Metro 2033 in particular, which is an older game, has been significantly retooled for the next-gen hardware. Look for the collection later this year. Metro Last Light's a really promising game. I give it like a low sevens. Could have been better. Very story driven, single player only. Metro 2033 is the game that came before it. These are based on books, Russian post apocalyptic books. One's called Metro 2033, and they're gritty and dark games. And I actually liked Metro 2033 quite a bit. What I played on it.
I remember Xbox. I remember you liked that one.
So that's exciting. Trophies number four. A new LEGO game, LEGO Batman 3 Beyond Gotham, is officially
been announced. News of the week! Beyond.
It's coming to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, and just about every other piece of hardware you can think of. The game follows the events of LEGO Batman 2 and will feature more than 150 unlockable characters. It will launch this fall.
Yeah. I had an interesting reaction when I saw the trailer for that, by the way. Yeah. Just to show how stupid I am. I was like, wait, you can't have a Batman game take place in space. That's absurd! Made of blocks, starring cartoon characters that think they're animal people. Yeah, it looks really fun. I love those games. Those are always great. They're always a good time. So yeah,
they are
a
good time.
Yeah.
Number five. Tarsier Studios, the team that brought you Little Big Planet PS Vita, has announced a new PlayStation 4 exclusive game. It's called Hunger, and it's a third-person action-adventure game with stealth and exploration elements. Mm. In the game, Greg, quote, a 9-year-old girl named Six is kidnapped from her home and taken to work in the Maw, a surreal underwater resort catering to the whims of the powerful elite. When an unexpected twist of fate offers her a chance at freedom, Six takes a journey through the bizarre and unpredictable world of the Maw and catches a glimpse at the corrupt heart of modern happiness, end quote.
That sounds awesome.
Hunger doesn't yet have a release date or a window.
That happened to you when you were six, right, Greg?
Yeah. Right. I got hungry.
I think it looks awesome. It's cool to see them branching out from their Little Big Planet Sackboy stuff and doing something.
Well, that game was so good. That was like, I still think that's the definitive Little Big Planet that's come out. So yeah, to have them branch out and do some other stuff, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, unclear. It sounds to me like a downloadable game, but maybe it's not. Yeah. I don't know. The art's really pretty. You can find it on IGN. Number six, Greg, this one's for you. SingStar is dormant no more.
Woo!
A new version of the PlayStation exclusive karaoke game is coming to PlayStation 4 and will be released later in 2014. Interestingly, you don't even need a mic to play. This is really cool.
Yeah.
SingStar on PS4 will launch alongside a smartphone and tablet app that will allow the use of your device as a mic. So that's kind of a neat idea.
It looks so stupid. The photos they showed of people singing in their iPhones look dumb, but it's a great idea.
Yeah. It's an awesome idea.
They never brought us wireless mics in the States.
And peripherals.
Now, here's the other big problem, though, is that I put so much money into SingStar PS3 DLC, but if you remember, there was a big hullabaloo because the way music rights worked and for downloadable stuff, that was all tied to my system. Like, when I got a new PS3, there was, like, a whole rigmarole of calling Sony and doing all these things you would have needed. I never even did it. I didn't even care that much.
Right.
That you would have had to go and do. So for this, it's going to suck if I have all that stuff. I still can't use it if they haven't figured that out.
If they rebuy all those songs.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
All that damn K-pop Clements would put on there. Stuff from England I never even heard of. Get out of here.
England is a very different and foreign place.
I don't like their music as much as I like our music. Taylor Swift can beat the crap out of anybody. In England, music-wise.
Ringo Starr.
Yeah. Dead. It's over.
Number seven. Publisher Take-Two has filed a trademark for City Stories,
Woo!
Indicating that we may be getting another dose of the famous Grand Theft Auto spin-off series that last saw the light of day on PS2 and PSP in 2007. Liberty City Stories and Vice City Stories were massively popular entries in the GTA franchise, though of a lesser production quality, and kept hype for the series alive in between San Andreas and GTA 4. Does this new trademark indicate that we may be getting another City Stories game, perhaps for Sony's fledgling handheld?
That'd be awesome.
That would be really awesome.
Yeah.
If they did that.
A new one? I'd see them porting the old ones first.
They're already available as PS2 classics, right?
Yeah, that's been rumored for a while. There was some bogus box art, at least it looked bogus, that popped up of people doing that. But if they could do a new one, if they could do a brand new one for PlayStation Vita, that'd be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, San Andreas Stories.
Yeah.
Sure.
Which has been rumored forever.
That'd be cool. Number eight.
We've agreed it's cool.
Publisher Take-Two has also filed a trademark extension for The Agent, the long-ago announced PlayStation 3 exclusive that never saw the light of day. The game was originally revealed at E3 in 2009. In 2011, the game was reportedly still in development. Agent is purportedly an espionage game that takes place in the 1970s, but little else is known about it, including if Rockstar is still actively developing it, or simply squatting on the trademark until further notice.
They should cut their losses. Everybody goes to work on Red Dead.
Yeah,
Red Dead 2.
I agree.
Next gen, like this gen.
I'm interested to see. Rockstar is such a disciplined developer because all their branches are all the different studios because they really keep secrets. pretty well. You know, like nothing leaks. Like we don't even really know like what happened with the agent, like what fell apart with that. Yeah. Other than that, you know, they seem to owe Sony an exclusive. So I don't know. I don't know. Like
that's what City Stories will become.
That'd be cool. I'd prefer that. Number nine. Minecraft has finally been given a release window on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. Both versions will be available this August. Interestingly, the games all support cross-save, but once you bring your save to the PS4, you can't migrate it back to PS3 and Vita, as the PS4 version of the game supports stuff the other two don't. If you already own the PS3 version, the Vita version will be available free of charge. If you want to upgrade from PS3 to PS4, you can do so for $4.99.
Oh,
otherwise,
that's great.
The PS4 version will cost $19.99.
Right.
I did not know that. I did not know that last part. That's awesome.
Of course, Brian and I are back with our Minecraft Let's Plays. We used to do them daily. Now we do them once a week, every Wednesday, 11 a.m. You can get them on IGN.com or YouTube.com/MinecraftIGN.
And we have played a ton of Minecraft.
We have,
so
but
it's
I'm going to play even more.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to play so much
That's
more.
What I was thinking about on the plane. On the plane, I was like, man, if I had Minecraft right now, I'd be going to town.
So you're saying to me, since I bought the PS3 version, the Vita version's free,
right.
And I can pay $5 to get the PS4 version.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's awesome.
Now, Colin, you haven't played the Minecraft.
I've been waiting for Vita.
Charlie writes in and says, Beyond.
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 When the Minecraft news about Vita and PS4 is read on the Roper Report, let it be known this is the single most important news item on this week's Roper Report. Mm-hmm. So my question is directed at Colin. Will you be jumping aboard the Minecraft bandwagon, as many of us have? Do you have time for it? I'm fortunate and privileged enough to have you on my friends list, and I would love to play alongside you. No voice chat.
No voice chat. That's a prerequisite. Yeah, I'm going to play it. I can already envision me bailing off the bandwagon as well, because I just don't know if this game is going to be for me for longer than a little
really?
While. But yeah.
You've sat there and watched me play it, though. And yeah, you totally see you see the allure of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a silly game. Like I really actually think it's kind of ingenious, and I think the market agrees. But
yeah, clearly.
But I don't get – it reminds me of when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. My dad used to like go into his shop and make me like all these blocks. And I had like a ton of the blocks because my dad just liked to, you know, work with his hands and stuff. And I used to build like all this random huge castles and put my G.I. Joes in them and like take me a week to build. And like I liked building shit like that. But I just can't imagine doing it in a digital format and then exploring this world and then getting other people to come. I just feel like it's such an investment, and with so many – games to play and things that I want to move on to next, I just can't see, like, I want to mess with it and understand it better.
Sure.
But I'm gonna be holding onto that bandwagon with one hand for a weekend probably.
You think so?
Letting go.
Well, yeah. I mean, let me ask you this. Your father's blocks,
mm-hmm.
did they have trophies?
No, they didn't.
See, that's a big part.
So that's something that's really interesting about this game, and I'm not a big trophy guy. I don't really care, but there's some stuff in Minecraft that really hooks you to make you want to go through these challenges, one of which Greg and I have been trying for months, years.
We get distracted and move on to something else pretty quick.
But I enjoy it. I kind of went in with the same sort of hesitations. I was just like, yeah, you know, I like these sort of like open world sandbox games. I like Legos and stuff. I grew up with the same type of toys. And to actually sit down and all of a sudden be like, I don't know what I'm doing here and I have to survive. That part's really cool. And whether or not the crafting part of it to the extent of like, I'm going to build an airship from Super Mario 3, whether or not that hooks you, I don't think it is as common as the sort of like as a gamer starting out in Minecraft for the first time, spending your first night collecting stuff, building your first axe, digging your first hole, making your first home and stuff like that. It's really cool. And you might only stay for a few days, but I think that if it does hook you, it's going to get you for a few weeks.
Cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm very open-minded. I think that when a game is this extraordinary and this much of a cultural phenomenon, that you kind of have to pay attention to it. And it's not even Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty phenomenon. It's actually bigger than that. Like, every time I see – like, when I see people in my family or, like the little kids in my family, like, they're obsessed with this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't even give – like, they don't even care about games, some of them. No. But they're just like, I play Minecraft.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. I don't have anything to say to you because I don't know this game very well.
Yeah.
All I know is watching Greg play it, I was getting really frustrated because he was making a house and then ruining it by, like, the symmetry was all wrong and, like – you know, like it was just all fucked up. I couldn't watch it anymore.
You're gonna have to make your own house, make the symmetry right.
I know. He was like, he had like this beautiful facade on the water, and then he was just fucking it up.
I honestly
gotta get up there and try
for the sake of the show and your Twitter feed and everything. I really hope you do actually get really hooked by this game, because it'd be awesome to see somebody like you actually fall down that well, because it's deep. It's a deep well.
Super. It's that OCD well.
Yep.
Number 10. Evolve has been given a release date. It will launch on PlayStation 4 as well as Xbox One and PC on October 21st worldwide.
Woo! Yeah.
And Shinji Mikami's upcoming cross-gen long-in-development horror game The Evil Within has been delayed. It will launch on PS4 and PS3 as well as Xbox 360, Xbox One, and PC on October 21st in North America and October 24th in Europe. And that's it for the news.
Okay. I'm excited about that Evolve.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's going to have a lot of buzz coming out of E3, seeing as how people who've seen it at PAX and everything else just love it.
Yeah, all the stuff. It's one of those, every time it gets shown, I hear more and more about it that I really like. It's not one of those, you know, we saw more, we don't like it, I have some problems with this and this. They keep peeling off another layer, talking about another gameplay element that just, like, hooks me. There's, like, some sort of, like, Dota-type stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of different character classes you can pick from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot more than just like Left 4 Dead, where you're just four guys running around a house.
Right,
Left 4 Dead was rad.
Yeah, and I love Left 4 Dead.
I'm surprised they never made another one of those.
I am too. I'm actually.
It's got to be coming.
Yeah,
just like Half-Life.
I'm shocked.
Anything with three is still coming, probably.
That sounds like the perfect E3 reveal, right?
That'd be cool.
Put up that number three.
Evil Within. I know a lot of people are hating on that game, but I'm excited about that too. It's my Tommy, man.
Yeah,
you know, that's like OG. Horror, you know, survival horror. We haven't had a real survival horror game since the original Dead Space. And I want a real survival horror game.
There's a title that gets brought up every time someone talks about The Evil Within, and it's Resident Evil 4. And when you say those words and you say this new game is comparable to Resident Evil 4, I'm like, yep, in 100,000%. That's one of my favorite games of all time.
Each one of you will put maybe an hour and a half into this game.
You think so?
Based on what I saw at PAX, man.
Really?
It's a pile of garbage.
Oh, man. That's
it
a
looks
bummer.
Bad. You're insulting Resident Evil. And the people who are saying that are insulting Resident Evil 4.
Wow.
They might be saying some of the mechanics are similar to Resident Evil 4. Uh-huh. Resident Evil 4 looks better than this game.
Huh.
Period.
So gloves are off. Why didn't you like it? Like, what? Just tell me everything.
I mean, I think it'd be shorter to say why did anyone like it? I don't know what.
Wow.
Like, it just didn't look good. The character model looks bad. The action looks bad. It looks stilted. You don't move well, which is similar to Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
But even Resident Evil 4, I thought you looked better than how this guy moved. I mean, granted, we're seeing an early preview version of this game. We've said that a million times. I mean, it's getting delayed, so hopefully they're smoothing all that out.
Yeah.
But if your character model is fucked 6 months out, you're not going to be able to.
We're dropped into this game, and it's just, things are running at you. What's happening? Why is the world... part of the problem was just I knew nothing about this game other than, it's you know, this guy did this, and it's survival horror. Okay, great. And I went and sat down, and I left that, and I'm like, I don't know what I just saw. The world is shifting and moving. Is he in a dream world? Does he know? Because there's no reaction to him. The world is like doing like the Star Wars garbage disposal thing.
And he's just walking around.
He's like, he gets all stuck up against the wall and moves through. Not a, oh my God, or anything. Nope, nothing. Just through and out on the other side. You're like, okay, great.
There goes that.
These monsters run at you shoot them, they burn, then they turn into an item on the ground, which is fine.
See, now you're not describing a game that I will play for an hour and a half. You're describing a game that I won't play.
I'm just saying, I think that's
I gotta play it. I gotta see it through.
Yeah.
You'll finish it. You'll platinum it, and you'll be like, it was fun, or whatever. Or it'll be like one of those games that everybody else hates, and you're just like, well, I saw this good thing in it, so this is what I did.
Like Naughty Bear.
Yeah, like Naughty Bear.
Which was one of the finest games.
Also very generation. Similar to Resident Evil.
Naughty Bear was a prettier game than this game.
It ran better. Naughty Bear ran at a solid 8 frames a second.
Evil Within's coming up soon, but to find out what's in stores now, let's go to the official Andrew Goldfarb Memorial list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Rest in peace, Goldfarb.
Big ups.
On PlayStation 3, Watch Dogs is finally out.
Watch Dogs?
And Ace Combat Infinity, which is the Ace Combat free-to-play game, I believe. PlayStation 4, Watch Dogs, and that is it. And on Vita, it's a good week for Vita. Lemming's Touch comes out, Mind Zero, which is that nerdy-ass JRPG that's supposed to be like Persona, but not nearly as good. Mm. Monster Mon Piece is out, which is that super inappropriate card battling game.
Oh, yeah.
And the Sly Collection
comes
to Vita as well. So there's some
games
free on Vita.
All right.
I'm going to play Mind Zero, Monster Mon Piece myself.
Monster Mon Piece.
Are you going to play Watch Dogs?
Yeah, there's supposed to be a bunch of copies in the office. I just don't know who has them.
Sure.
But I'm senior editor, so I'm taking one from someone.
Okay.
Because I got to do it. I got to pull that seniority rank once
in a while. Hey, Leah B. Jackson. But yeah! You just kick her. I don't even have the game. Colin.
Yeah.
What time do you have to go?
I don't know.
Okay. It's 11:45. I was letting you know.
Yeah.
You can step away when you want to. Okay. We just talked about Watch Dogs. Let's answer a question. Maria writes in.
Maria.
Maria, Maria, Maria.
Reminds me of Maria, Maria. The kind of like R&B song with Santana that came out in the late 90s.
Maria, Maria.
Yeah, and then you're like,
you're the mommy in the West Side Story.
Yeah, and then it's like, with the guitar by Carlos Santana.
And then he plays. Yeah, like, that's so weird, like, right?
Yeah. It was so weird. Carlos Santana did a million like weird crossovers out of the blue. He had a whole album.
That, yeah, that's when he. Yeah, that's when he did
him,
the Matchbox
Branch.
Matchbox 20 or whatever his song was. That was. Matchbox
I think when 20. You're on your 20th album, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, that album was. What was that album called? Damn it, I can see it in my
with
head.
Carlos Santana.
Yeah. I'm Dr. Carl.
I can't remember.
Maria says, hi, Greg, Colin, in the ever-rotating third chair. Beyond.
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 I've been excited for Watch Dogs since E3 2012, like everybody else, and since then, the game has been talked about a lot. The latest news, though, delays, graphic downgrades, have not been encouraging, and a lot of backlash about the game has overhyped and started to arise. Now that it's out, and the most of the reviews are positive, I feel reassured about my pre-order.
Good.
But even though critic reviews have been positive, people are still saying that the game is crap because the game is not exactly what they expected it would be. Some graphical issues. Overall tone of the game. Not GTA 5. Duh. What I want to know is, do you guys think that the low user reviews, currently 59 on Metacritic, are happening because Ubisoft announced the game early back in 2012?
I think that people nowadays genuinely have more fun talking about, hating on, or discussing, or consuming media about games than they do actually playing them. I think that now that whole part of the culture has almost surpassed just sitting there and playing something and enjoying something with a smile on your face. Is the watching the downgrade ton, we call it, and stuff like that. Watching delays happen, watching studios shift and layoffs and stuff like that. For the next few days, we're going to see tons of videos of glitches in Watch Dogs. We're only going to focus on the negative. The reality is, when that game was first shown, it looked amazing. Then we didn't see it for a while, and we heard bad things. And we came out, and now it looks really good, too. And people are doing comparisons. Digital Foundry did a comparison of what it looks like, the retail version, versus what we originally saw. And they're pretty damn close, if not identical. So I think people just want to see things fail. It's this sort of sadistic aspect.
I think there's plenty of people, who just are like, oh, we got delayed and this took too long. And I'm just sick of the hype train. So they go on Metacritic without having played it. It's out today. Today's granted, there's been early releases here and there, but not enough to where everybody could go out there and feel that. So it's like anything else. It's just same thing when Call of Duty comes out and all the Battlefield people go on and lower its Metacritic score and vice versa, or PlayStation versus Xbox.
I mean, the game's what, 20, 30, 40? 40 hours long. You finished it already, and you wrote a review on come on.
Metacritic. If you're paying attention to Metacritic user scores, don't.
Yeah, don't.
They're absolutely useless. But as someone who doesn't even like review scores, I think Metacritic's interesting, but somewhat destructive as well. But even for our own scores,
right?
Especially because the weights and all that kind of stuff. IGN scores are actually heavily weighted, and which is fantastic for us. But some smaller voices are snuffed out. It's not a true average. With that said, I feel a few things. First of all, Ubisoft is precariously close to becoming the next EA to a lot of people in terms of this is going to be the target of a lot of people's ridicule. I think Ubisoft's a fantastic company. They make great games, or good games, except Assassin's Creed, which everyone knows I don't like very much, but a lot of people do. I'm in the minority on that, right? They do Rayman, they're doing Watch Dogs, they do a lot of great stuff. And I think that people are looking for someone to hate.
Yeah.
Right? EA is kind of reversing a lot of its, stuff with SimCity and all these kinds of things. And so everyone's they didn't win World's Worst Company or whatever the hell it is, because you have to be completely out of touch if you think they're the World's Worst Company. I feel like Ubisoft has this stigma actually that's actually going to start to stick with it, because they're openly annualizing their games, and they're not sorry about it, and I don't think they should be, because the market wants them.
Yeah.
I think we often get caught up in the negative on the internet in our little echo chamber in our little sphere, because we're kind of out of touch with the way normal people feel about games or what they know about games. For instance, with the Far Cry 4 controversy, everyone was like, well, Far Cry 3 was racist too, but no one really thought Far Cry 3 was racist, except for a few people on the internet. Far Cry 3 sold 9 million copies, and if you go ask the normal person that played Far Cry 3 or plays it online, hey, did you know that people think Far Cry 3 is racist? They're like, no, I had no idea. It's the same thing with Assassin's Creed, right? Yeah. Everyone's like, aren't you ashamed that Assassin's Creed's being annualized now? And they're going to be like, no, because I like Assassin's Creed and I like to play it.
Yeah.
Ubisoft listens to the market and listens to its users, and also has the time to make and the wherewithal and the money to make games like Child of Light or Rayman, which don't sell as well but are really good. So I think that haters are going to hate,
mm-hmm.
and lovers are going to love, mm-hmm. right? And
eaters going to eat.
Eaters are definitely going to eat, although you're losing weight. I don't know.
I'm not losing nothing.
And so, yeah, to me, I'm more distressed by our culture of hatred and our culture of negativity on the internet. And I hope that we can start to get away with it. Now, we've all been there. We've all done that, right? We all have something negative or bad to say. But I've been trying to contribute a little bit more to the positivity. It's the same thing with, like, you know, the order being delayed and everyone was hating on me for it. And it's like, why? Like, I'm just giving my opinion. Like, why do we have to focus on negative things? Let's focus on the positive things of the games if we want to kind of have a more positive and constructive narrative about something. So it's all in our own power, and also beyond us to understand that we really don't speak for everyone, and that we don't really have our finger on the pulse of the general gamer that walks in the Walmart and buys a couple games a year. He doesn't know any of this is happening. He doesn't give a shit. He goes, sees Watch Dogs. He likes it. He doesn't care that people are trying to find the negative. It's not going to stop him from buying. It's not going to stop him from buying the sequel. You know, we have to keep that in mind. Context is really
important. I totally agree. If you want to justify that you still have $60 in your wallet, you can do it without shitting on something.
Yeah.
You can just save your money and just be like, I saved my money. I wanted to hate that game. I hate it in my head. I don't care what anyone says positive about it. I hate it because I want to save my $60. Keep your $60. Just shut up. Let everybody else enjoy it because people are really enjoying it. This game is going to be probably the best selling game this month.
And it's one of those things where I definitely would welcome critical reviews from users. That's the thing. I want to make sure we're not saying, you know, critical opinion from users doesn't matter, but the ones who are out there giving it a 59 without it, you know what I mean?
No, if you are...
And I'm sure they're giving it a 3 and somebody else is giving it an 8 and they're trying to balance
Three hours after it was released.
That's what
stores.
I'm saying, yeah. I mean, if you want to, like, you know, write a review on GameFAQs or, you know, write a review on a wiki or on your blog or whatever, that's great. That's fantastic. But,
of course.
But play the game, you know? And that's what I'm saying. Like, Metacritic's user scores are just the absolute worst. They're like a minefield of garbage. They are useless battles that no one cares about except for these few people that want to fight about games they've never even played, and they have no validity right now. You know, maybe when the dust settles in a few, we've had access to Watch Dogs for a while now, like,
yeah.
So and a lot of critics have, so those reviews should be, you know, I think trusted. Once you've spent time with the game and have a critical opinion of it, then you should put that out there. But just having this stupid Metacritic battle,
And it's sort of like it seeps into our culture a little bit too, where we have had the copy a couple copies of Watch Dogs for a little while now, and I kept saying to people, like, well, is it good? Or is it bad? Because I heard it's bad.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, no, it's actually really good. Like, I don't know where all that negative shit came from, but it seeped into my brain. And I'm like, oh, well, it can't be good because I read everywhere that it's bad. And they downgraded it and they changed it from this and this and this. Turns out it's good. So I can't wait to play it tonight.
It just brings up – I think this brings up a bigger question of, like, why is everyone so invested in products that they have no ownership over? Yeah. They, like, don't make – like, if – like – when I didn't like Grand Theft Auto 5 that much, right? Like, I stopped playing. I was like, I don't really care about this game. I really wanted to like it. I bought it and was excited about it. I'm like, I don't know.
It's not doing it for
me. Yeah, and people were like, a lot of people were upset about this. And I'm like, why? Do you own Take-Two shares? You already got my money if you do, by the way.
Right.
Do you work at Rockstar? Otherwise, why do you care? It's the same thing I always said about, like, you know, I like 311 a lot, right? Like, a lot of people hate that band, right? Like, they think they suck and all that kind of stuff. I've been dealing with that for years, for a long time. I don't care.
Right.
You know, I'm like not what, in you like 311. What you, like. You know? Right. Like, I don't make any money from them. They take my money.
And
It's like, that's the kind of stuff I'm saying. Like, why do you care?
I don't listen to 311, and I don't want to listen to 311. If you gave me free concert tickets to go see them, I would probably take you. Or just hand them to you. But I don't want 311 to die in a bus crash either. You know? I'm just like, I hope they keep making music. I hope they're successful. And I hope their fans keep loving what they do. I hope there's a Watch Dogs every year for the people that love Watch Dogs. But I don't want the people who make Watch Dogs to die or lose their jobs. I don't want the franchise to go away. I don't want the studio to close. Like, if it's something I have no interest in, it's allowed to exist somewhere out without constantly pleasing me. Because not everything has to please me. Things can just exist and please other people. And I have to be happy with that.
Yeah, or at least deal with it.
Yeah. Sound really thrilled about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want 311 to die in a bus crash.
Some people do, and that's – everyone likes something everyone hates.
Yep.
And that's never been relevant to me.
Yep.
All right. Moving on. Alex writes into beyond@ign.com just like you can and says, hey, guys, Beyond.
Beyond.
Do you feel the need and or pressure to not seem too biased towards PlayStation? I understand it's your main focus and passion, but I feel that you guys, especially Greg, are too cautious to say anything negative about Microsoft or their platforms. I know that you must try to maintain an objective opinion, but I feel you're much more comfortable making fun of Sony and their bad decisions than anything Microsoft has ever done.
I don't know if we're more comfortable, but I think we're more versed. Like, I think I can come in and talk about a problem I have with PS4 or my Wii U because I spend the most time playing Nintendo and Sony systems. And I can speak less to that on the Xbox One because I don't really find a lot of the things happening on the Xbox One very compelling to me right now. So, yeah, I can come in and be like, that thing on PS4 sucks.
Yeah.
Because I have to deal with it every
day.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, you know, is there pressure to not seem biased towards PlayStation? You know, because obviously on the internet we're called PlayStation fanboys quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We don't care, of course, but that generates from the fact that, you know, for 6.5 years my beat at IGN was PlayStation. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that I was a fanboy. It was just that that's what I was paid to cover and be an expert on. And now that's, you know, Colin is leading that charge for PlayStation. So obviously, it's just like E3. We're talking about this either, you know, when I sit down at the end of an E3 and people go, what's the best thing you saw at the show? I feel like that's such a shitty question to ask or be answered because I only know what I saw. And so when you only know PlayStation, most of the jokes are going to come from that. Or if that's what we're being paid, not because we're not being – we don't only know PlayStation because we prefer PlayStation. We only know PlayStation or know it the best because – that's what we get paid to know everything about, right? Now it's shifted a bit, right? Like, I can play anything I want and nobody's looking for me for PlayStation expertise. So you come in and you talk about Vita games I don't even know anything about. You educate me. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it works. And I mean, as far as like that I'm, especially Greg, are too cautious. Is anything negative about Microsoft? I'm negative about my own Xbox One all the time.
Yeah, it just
I was
sucks.
Just on a, I was just on a Mario Kart 8 live stream where all I did was talk shit about the battle mode and
yeah,
you know, these
I was
other
sitting
things.
right there with you.
Like, I mean, I don't know what you're seeing. I think it's
this comes from a lack again of context because they don't see and know and everything that we talk about or do here at the site. They don't see all the tweets we do. We obviously don't hear our conversations with each other. I've said this before, right? Like, I prefer playing on PlayStation, and I'm not ashamed of that. That doesn't mean that I'm a fanboy. And if you feel like I am, then that's your prerogative, right?
Sure.
Like, there's nothing I can do to change your mind, and there's nothing I want to do to change your mind because that's up to you to feel that way, right?
Yeah.
When a game comes to, you know, I play my Wii last generation got a lot of play because I really loved Mario Galaxy and Zack and Wiki and all these random ass games. Conduit came out and, you know, we mess around with all these random games, right? Like, where the games are, I'll go, right? And so when Xbox One gets its games this fall or early next year, especially Quantum Break and Sunset Overdrive, you better believe I'm going to play those games.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, it just so happens that if there's, you know, next-gen cross-platform, you know, games, I'm going to play them on PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And I prefer the exclusives and the exclusive studios that PlayStation has. I think they're much better than Microsoft's. And I prefer that ecosystem. I always tell people on Twitter, and I've said it on Podcast Beyond before, embrace that you're a PlayStation gamer because it doesn't mean that you are, or embrace that you're an Xbox gamer or a Nintendo gamer. It doesn't mean you're a fanboy. It doesn't mean that you don't want to. It means that there's only so many hours in the day. And if you want one of the experiences, the whole totality of an experience, and you only have so many hours a day, and I only have so many hours a day for PS3, PS4, and Vita, with the exception of when these games come to other consoles that I'm interested in. People were so surprised when I went to Insomniac and did the Sunset Overdrive stuff. I loved that game. I don't really care what hardware it's running on. The game looks really cool, and I think you're really going to enjoy it if you own an Xbox One. And a lot of people were giving Insomniac a lot of shit for moving over, but they don't do it for exclusivity. They do it for money, like any other business does, right? So these like console wars that these developers even get caught up in, like they don't give a
shit.
It's
horrible.
They don't care, you know? Like they want to put their – they make games. They don't make just PlayStation games unless you're a wholly owned studio. So I encourage people to look at it from a different point of view, which is say like if you own every console, that's fantastic. If you want to play just the biggest games on every console, that's fantastic. That's not the way I choose to play my games. I choose to get into the nitty-gritty of the PlayStation Network. I choose to get into the nitty-gritty of the Vita and the PS4. I play almost everything that comes out on PS4. And if you don't like it or you think that I'm a fanboy – that's kind of up to you, you know? But
I mean,
there's
again,
a lot of people
that's
like
your
that
beat.
Out there.
You, I mean, I think all three of us prefer the PlayStation ecosystem right now, right?
Totally.
Like, that's how it is. And, like, the reason I do is because I'm obviously I prefer the studios. I'm invested with trophies. When you're talking about, you know, like, where am I going to play Watch Dogs?
Yeah, friends list and trophies
and
all that.
I'm going to play on the platform where I'm trying to, you know, always chip away at more trophies or talk to my friends or see what they're doing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just a different.
There's no shame in it.
No.
Like, that's what I'm always trying to tell people. It's just like, the word fanboy is used by – like if you are a fanboy, and I don't think anyone could objectively call us fanboys because we've talked just an endless amount of shit about
Alex
Sony.
Alex is saying that we make fun of Sony too much
exactly.
And not enough.
Yeah.
So if anything, we're Xbox fanboys.
And I've always been really proud of that because we see what it is, right? And when Sony was blundering along in 2008, 2009, we called them out on that, right?
Right.
And we've expressed – honest to God astonishment that they haven't messed anything up with the PS4 yet. And like and it's just based on the history, right? Like based on the PS3 and the third console curse and all those kinds of things. It's just you know, throw that word around if you want, use it as a pejorative if you want. But, you know, some people just like certain consoles. Some people don't have enough money for all the consoles. Some people, like, really just want to have that investment and know what's going on in that one console, the way we used to be with the NES and the SNES. That was the way I was. It wasn't, you know, until we got to the PlayStation generation, and especially the PlayStation 2 generation, that I started buying everything and had everything at Dreamcast and GameCube and Xbox. And I always say that I feel like the PS2, Xbox, GameCube generation was the least fulfilling generation I ever had, because I was all about being agnostic, completely agnostic, and I missed all of the minutiae and all the little things that came to all these consoles. Like, I had 20 GameCube games, I had 30 PS2 games, I had 10 Xbox games, I'd play Halo, I'd play KOTOR, then I'd go play Resident Evil 4, then I'd go play Eco. But all the shit underneath, I miss so much of it.
Yep.
And I'm not going to do that again. You know, so, like, because that's where the fucking gems are, man. And you can only do that if you don't have a job, and therefore have just play games all day.
Yep.
Or you dedicate yourself to one of these ecosystems, and that's what I've done.
Well, I mean, that's what the strength of IGN is, right? Is that we have people who prefer – I mean, McCaffrey prefers to play everything on Xbox, so he can bring his expertise to a table.
Yeah.
And obviously, Jose plays everything in Nintendo, and you can bring these people together and then have a rational thought. And then, of course, there's the Dota kids.
Yeah, I mean, we're booking E3 right now, right? And we're talking about when these press conferences happen afterwards, we're going to have podcasts and conversations and videos, and we're going to recap them on live on the set. And who do we want for this? So, well, let's get Brian and Colin for the Sony one, and let's get Brian and Jose for the Nintendo one, and let's get McCaffrey and Mitch for the Xbox one, whatever it is. You want to align with those things. So I'm not on some Dota podcast going, who's the dragon? You know, I'm actually –
There's a
jungle. Yeah. So on the flip side, though, I have been called every possible combination of bad fanboy words from just an angry, miserable person, because they don't see that I do try to play a little bit on everything. You know, like this weekend I jumped from my Wii U to my PS4 to my Xbox One, and I was playing a game on my Kindle. Like, that's crazy. And I don't even think about it. I'm just like, these are video games. I'm having fun with them. I'm just hopping from thing to thing.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. You do miss out on a lot of the little things. And during the GameCube era, that's where I predominantly focused on GameCube. And I got to play all these weird games like Billy Hatcher and all this shit that everybody missed out on. But I was just like, hey, it's a new GameCube game. I want to check it out. This morning, IGN tweeted about the order delay. And I just tweeted back, Delay Station 4. And somebody was like, yeah, fuck you, sucking Xbox One 720p dick. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I love the Xbox One. I love the PS4. I would make a dumb joke about the Xbox One if it's one of its flagship titles got delayed too. Like, I don't care that much, and neither should you. Like, play games that make you happy and on the console that you enjoy, and stop fucking shitting on everybody for what they play things on.
Agreed.
I forgot that package that came in the mail. You read and answer Joshua's question. I'm going to grab it.
Okay. I got to go.
I know.
We'll
make it quick.
Joshua's
question is a slam dunk.
Hey, Beyond Crew, and whoever is lucky enough to be in the rotating chair, that's
Hi.
Brian Altano.
What's up?
I've been playing God of War 1 and 2 on Vita and loving it. It makes me wish God of War 3 was on Vita also. Do you guys think that we would see God of War 3 or Ascension on Vita anytime soon? Thanks for all the wonderful work you guys do at IGN. Joshua. The answer is no.
No.
I definitely don't think you'll see Ascension. There are rumors that Ascension might come to PS4. I hope that's not true. I hope they just move on from that game, because I don't think people really wanted it. As far as God of War 3 on Vita, I doubt that's possible, because God of War 1 and 2 aren't running all that hot, and they're PS2 ports. So I can't imagine what a PS3 game
would
run.
I think smoke would be coming out of the back of your Vita if you played God of War 3.
It's on fire.
Trying to run God of War.
Use your might. All your might.
I'm using it. All my might. This is from Devin. Package says Beyond. It's addressed to Colin and I.
Maybe use your teeth.
It's a bomb!
Bing, 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 bing. You Xbox fanboys have finally had enough. All right. Got a note here. Got a shirt. And a thing over here.
Fort Zalonga? That's on Long Island.
Dear Greg, Colin, and ever-rotating third chair. Beyond, I was hoping you guys could help me out. My best friend's birthday just passed, and coincidentally, he is coming back from service in the military very shortly. I wanted to get him something pretty crazy this year. Every year we trade PSN cards or download a new game on the other's account, but that just won't cut it this year. I thought since our friendship originally stemmed from video gaming, and we've been habitually listening to Beyond since the dawn of time, that I could combine those two things and go all out on this gift. I mailed you guys one of the Beyond shirts that I got from splitreason.com/IGN and thought it would be awesome if you could autograph it for him.
Ooh.
Obviously, the Beyond team comes first, but anybody else that works at IGN is totally encouraged to sign it as well. Blah, 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 blah. Maybe you make this dude hit of the week. Oh, sure. Maybe you make this dude hit of the week. His name is Hugh Stewart from Penn Yan, New York. Or is that near Long
Island?
I never
heard
of that.
Is that
on the
island? That could be.
Anyways, his PSN is Maverick, MAVERICK89. Maverick 89. Keep on giving me the news, guys. Look forward to listening every week. Beyond Devin from Long Island. He included his own
shout out to Hugh envelope. Stewart. Welcome back. Thank you for doing what you do for us, man.
Memorial.
You're amazing.
I knew a dude in your hometown, Devin. That's funny. I haven't even thought of that place. That's a small town out east.
Well, of course, we'll sign this. While we do that, AJ Cantwell has a question that I thought we could answer for him.
You're gonna bounce.
He says, Beyond.
Beyond.
Some nights I find myself turning off my PlayStation because I feel bad that I have left my girlfriend to watch TV on her own, even though she has told me to continue to play my game. I've tried to get her to play Call of Duty with me, but it didn't go very well. There was a few weeks that she enjoyed playing FIFA, but then stopped wanting to play it. I own a PlayStation 3, a PS4, and a Vita, and would love it if my girlfriend could play PlayStation like I do. Bye, Colin.
Bye, Colin. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. On your own podcast. So my question to you guys is this. I would like to make my girlfriend part of my gaming life, but I don't know what games I should start her off with. Thank you, and beyond, AJ Cantwell. Brian's finishing his signature. I think, now, of course, here's the problem, AJ, is that every girl, guy, human being is different. So it's always hard. There's no blanket girl or guy game, right? There's so many games you play that I know I don't like or whatever, right? If you try to drop me into Call of Duty, I'd be like, all right, cool, I'm done. FIFA, I'd be like, no, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, those games don't appeal to me, and I work in the video game industry at the world's biggest video game site. And I'm just, you know, I have no problem with them. I think they're fundamentally and technically great. I just find them a little dull. I think the actual act of running around in circles in Call of Duty and shooting people is kind of boring to me, and I think that scoring goals in FIFA has no appeal to me. But like, if you sit me down with something like, you know, Rayman, which I think I can play with pretty much anybody that comes over, or Mario Kart or something like that, those are the kind of games that they have a little more mass appeal. And I know there's plenty of games like that on PlayStation.
See, that what I'm jumping to is, right, that for me, we have to go back to the common denominator of what does everybody like.
Yeah.
Everybody likes story. Persona 4 Golden is a game that I know has hooked a lot of people and a lot of girlfriends and a lot of boyfriends. I'm not trying to, you know, do that. But just in the fact that the story is so good. You can play on easy and it's not, you know, you don't have to just blow through everything, but you get this awesome story of, you know, this group of kids banding together to fight this evil thing. So that would work. And then the same thing, like, why not play games that people find entertaining to watch, right? Like Uncharted, I hear about all the time that people like watching Uncharted.
Oh, yeah.
Walking Dead. People watch me play at Walking Dead, you know what I mean? Because it's a good story, stuff like that. Mass Effect was a good example, too.
Yeah, so it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for, like, a couch co-op game, you know, there's plenty of options there. If you're looking for something that's sort of, like, very narrative, story-driven that, you know, is awesome to watch, like, I think Greg totally nailed it. Tomb Raider is another good one that I think you can probably just have somebody sit on the couch and be like, man, that is an awesome game to look at. It's really fun. I think, to a lesser extent, games like Assassin's Creed, it really depends on, you know, what you're playing, how you're playing them. If you're playing a 75-hour open world game and collecting all the little things, that might get tedious to watch. But, you know, yeah, pick something like that's like 10 hours long, story-driven, that you guys can fly through in a few nights, maybe even pass off the controller here and there. And, yeah, you know, think about what the purpose of the game is.
What is she into?
Like, I think that, like, if you look at the very core mechanics of a game, and if it's just rewarding somebody for doing like a simple task that's like easy and fun, then sure, try it out with her.
Little Big Planet's a good example that you can play with her on that. Pixel Junk Shooter, I know a lot of people like playing together.
Yeah, move on from there. I mean, I do this with my fiance. She's like very much a lapsed gamer. She played video games growing up and then didn't play video games for like 20 years and then started dating me and was like, well, honey, I'm all aboard
the train.
Welcome back to Video Game Town.
Station for quite some time.
And, you know, I handed her a controller and I was like, let's play a first-person shooter, and she didn't get it, and she's not really big at like third-person action-adventure games, but platformers she got. And then from there, she sort of understood 3D platformers and rhythm games and music games and stuff like that. So start simple and then evolve.
Okay. Brian.
Hi.
Final question.
Sure.
Comes from Max, and it's not Max Scoville.
God damn it.
He says, it's quickfire. Greg, I'm almost done with my Persona 4 Gold and Platinum. How are you progressing? Specifically, what do you still have left to do? I'm progressive incredibly slowly. Yeah. Mario Kart came out, or Mario Golf came out. I'm about to hit 90 hours in Mario Golf, and they keep adding DLC in tournaments. So that's usually my thing to go on the go-to. You know what I mean? What do I have left? I have a whole bunch of stuff left. There's a whole long story of why I don't have as many trophies I should have in that game. So there's a lot left. There's a lot of time left in the year. But the problem I've been finding is I turn on, and it feels like a grind. I'm not feeling the same enjoyment I used to. I love Persona. bought an awesome Persona sweatshirt. You'll see some, on one of my IGN videos soon, I'm sure, at MomoCon.
Yep.
Love Persona. Not, I'm not, but it's just like I turn it on, I'm just not, I'm in the middle of a dungeon. It's like, this is, it's like, it's just like,
yeah, it's,
how
it's,
long do I have to play this to get back to the story to do, you know what
that's
I mean?
The thing. There are games that are designed to immediately pull you back in if you go away for a few months. I don't really feel like that's one
no,
of them.
Yeah.
You kind of have to be there. And that's why all the people we know that played it, like, they lost a month and a half of their lives because they just stuck with it from start to finish. I don't think you can just kind of walk away, lapse, and come back.
Well, it's you know, I had played it on PS2 and I reviewed it and I did all these things. So, like, just jumping back into it is just like, ugh, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's ahead of me.
Right.
And it's like,
right.
I don't know.
Now, are you one of those people that you can play, like, multiple games in multiple places at the same time?
Not, I prefer not to.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, that's why Mario Golf works so well, is that there's no story to Mario Golf. I just drop in and play Mario Golf for a little bit and I'm done. And then I come home and I play more Transistor. Or I, you know, and, but, like, even then, it's like I'm very much in a – I have to be in a mood to play a game. And I haven't been in the Persona mood lately. Mm-hmm. And that's screwing things up. I'm starting to get worried if I'll platinum it by the end of the year. That was my New Year's
resolution. I'm kind of the same way. When I was younger, I used to be able to, like, kind of juggle multiple games. And maybe I got older or games got more sort of – involved.
Yeah.
But, like, right now I'm playing Wolfenstein because I didn't enjoy the first half hour. Everyone told me to keep going. I kept going. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot better.
Out, once you get to, like, the asylum or whatever.
Yeah, there's a really – just a really bad first half hour there. I wish you could just skip it. So I'm playing that. I'm playing Child of Light, and I started Transistor yesterday, and I just got Watch Dogs, which is an open world game.
Right.
So now I'm like
– See, it, back to mood, right? Like, I'm not in the mood for Watch Dogs.
How come?
No, I just don't feel it. I don't. I since I've seen that game, I'm like, all right, looks neat, but, like, nothing about it has grabbed me. And I don't know if I'm just burned out on giant open worlds because, you know, GTA wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
I feel like I got to, like, because I went hard for GTA and got really lost in it and loved it.
Yep.
And so then now I see this and it's just like, eh. And, like, I was looking on Reddit at some stuff last night of, like, you can swim into the water to get away from the cops and they can't catch you.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's right. There's no, like, boats. Police in that
and so game. I looked at it and I was just like, oh, this looks like GTA.
Yeah.
It's just like, that doesn't excite me. And I don't know, is the story good in it? Have you heard? Is that?
I heard the story's good. The side stuff isn't as good as the main stuff is. But
it seems I need to beat Transistor. I need to play more Wolfenstein. I do like Wolfenstein, but I haven't beaten that, obviously.
Yep.
Child of Light, I'm waiting for it to come to Vita.
Yep.
That's July 1st. That's not that far off at all. And then Minecraft on Vita. Like, back to what Colin was saying about there's only so many hours in the day, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've never felt it's more true than right now. And, like, I've been traveling so much that I've only been playing handheld stuff. And so now that I'm at home for, like, the next 2 weeks until E3, it's like, well, I want to play some console stuff, but I have so much cleanup to do before I feel like I can really sit down and lose another 80 hours or whatever to Watch Dogs.
He's got
to
pick – just to pick a game, knock it off the list, pick another game, knock it off the list. I don't think that, like, chipping away at five things is working for me anymore, and it's definitely not working for you.
Colin's – or this was a question for Colin from Max. It was, which alternate history is better, Wolfenstein or Resistance? Last podcast, he said Resistance was the better alternate game.
Interesting.
And I imagine he means alternate history as well, just because that was, I think, a little bit more expansive.
Yeah.
I personally like it a little bit more in Wolfenstein, I think. It's a funner story to me, a more fun story that Nazis rule everything, and Resistance, like – crazy ass aliens have destroyed Earth.
I actually think that Wolfenstein, they don't really outright embrace it, but they sort of do. But there's a sort of, like, intrinsic humor to how absurd everything is. Like, you're walking down a row and all of a sudden, like, a giant robot, mutated dog goes to attack you, and they blow his head off with a grenade in his mouth because he thinks it's a ball. That stuff's kind of cool. It's quirky. It's different than Resistance, which is, like, it's kind of a lot
super
more serious in tone.
Super serial. I was just thinking of more Persona. I got to play through on all the difficulties still, too, to get
you don't have to do anything.
Well, she's
got
to say all the different lines, and that's key to it. Rotating third chair, that's you, Brian.
That's me.
In 30 seconds, pitch a new PlayStation IP from a Naughty Dog or – I'm sorry, from a Naughty Dog Studio Japan partnership.
Oh, God. Okay.
Think for 2 seconds and go.
All right, so the new Naughty Dog game is called Quasars, and it's about a refugee woman who is stolen from her home planet and sent off into space to fight aliens that are also cannibals. So they're killing each other, and they're also trying to kill her. But if she can defeat all of them, then she becomes the king of Quasar Planet and can send back to Earth.
Right.
That was really hard.
Well, Quasar will be coming soon. It'll be announced at E3, I'm sure, from this Naughty Dog Studio Japan partnership that you heard about here on Podcast Beyond, episode 344. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Remember that every Tuesday, the MP3 of Podcast Beyond goes live. Every Wednesday, the video version goes live live on IGN.com and YouTube.com/IGN. Of course, you should keep up with us. You can do it on Twitter at IGN. That's IGN.
Yeah.
I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin's No Taxation. Brian is Agent Bizzle.
Yep.
Of course, go to IGN.com, read the articles. They keep the likes, lights on.
And the likes.
On. I feel like whenever we go from a live stream to a podcast.
It's tough,
It's keeping the I'm just trying to hold the car together to get across the finish line.
I'm shooting
here.
A video with Naomi after this. So it's just nonsense. And then there's an E3 meeting. Just, when do we play the games?
I know, right? Every episode of Podcast Beyond ends in a song we call a segment, Ryan's Wrap-Up. Today's song comes from Brian Altano.
Oh, really?
Which one do you want to play? You have an album out. It's for free. It's called Missing Throat.
Actually, I just put out a remix for a Katy Perry song, so we can just put that one here.
Okay, great. Can they download that anywhere?
Yep.
Where do they download
that? It's available at SoundCloud. Search for .com. Brian Altano.
Okay, so search Brian Altano on SoundCloud.
Yep.
This is your Katy Perry
mashup. I
don't
have the URL. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's a remix of Firework.
Oh, okay, cool.
Enjoy.
Beyond!
Drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens but no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light. Like the 4th of July.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues, and it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.